Listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening to the Hour of the Time, the 7th of January, 2010. And you can thank yourselves as well for the information you're going to receive. Now, as always, have something to write with and some paper handy because you're going to want to take notes because we're going to quit repetitively covering topics at some point. And tonight's topics are rehashes, but they were requests from the audience, so we'll go ahead and do it this time. But first, the contact information. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time or HOTT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. The Eager studio number, 928-333-2942. And the Canadian studio number, 613-733-4324. Now, if you'd like to write me an email, you may write my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to cover a plethora of topics tonight. Garden seed, sprouting seed, organization, have a few offers, as well as gold and silver and investing in coins, whether they be junk silver, if you will, as it's typically called out there, or even numismatic style coins, slab coins, etc. So, with that, we're going to go to a musical break. Be sure to have something to write with and whatever you need to get through the next hour. And be ready to take notes. Thank you. right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here with your host, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now, again, always have something handy to take notes with, and that's a hint, ladies and gentlemen, too, that I'm going to quit repeating myself on certain topics. So take it to heart, because I will quit repeating it. Now, also, I received more questions since last evening's broadcast on the basic style questions, I'll say, which is good, people beginning their research into certain topics, but we're going to quit retyping and re-answering the same things over and over again. So, for example, if you are curious about mystery schools and symbology, we have Mystery Babylon MP3 bundles 1, 2, and 3, all three available. We also have the John Daniel 4 DVD set. If you want to know about Bill's take on the Kennedy assassination, we have the secret government. We have And we have Assassin Unmasked. If you're wondering about his speech in Sedona that was so famous, we have that on DVD. Behold a Pale Horse. Of course, an overview, because the book, you couldn't do really the whole thing except for a huge video series, but a 4.5 hour long DVD, that's available. The Branch Davidians, Last Will and Testament. Everybody should see that. Everybody in the film voluntarily filmed their side of the story to give to the ATF, which was supposedly part of the deal to stop the siege and attack upon their church and their home, the illegal siege and attack that was only there to murder them. You see people that are already wounded in the film telling their side of the story, and it did no good because everybody in the film was killed. So we have a huge plethora of offerings, ladies and gentlemen. We're also looking at, people have been inquiring again about medical supplies, etc., which is a good thing. We carried them for over 2 years. If that's something, I of course heard back from you, Belly, so I took note of that. If that's something that more of you would like to see us have, again, the very reduced price, medical supplies, all name brand, Johnson & Johnson, Curiat, emergency room supplies, which is great for trauma care and your kits around your home, give me feedback, hourthetime@hotmail.com. Same as the topics that you would like to hear covered. We can integrate those into the programming, but not if you stammer around and blah, 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 in your emails and phone messages, because I tend to ignore those or just erase them. I've already told you the protocols for calling or sending an email, and if you can't, at least follow a few simple guidelines that we ask of you due to the volume of emails and regular mail and phone calls, then I don't need to waste time. Now, also, a lot of people have been asking, and I'm glad it came up in the chat room with Rob and I both there, which was good because we're both on the exact same sheet of music. A lot of people have been asking, well, what do I say to a law enforcement that might harass me or pull me over or whatever? Well, first off, you got to think logical to begin with. Now, I've seen people that are drunk, know they're drunk, swerving all over, knocking down mailboxes, and then wonder why they got pulled over and say they were getting picked on. So make sure you're in the right state of mind to begin with, okay? But it really comes down to three questions that you ask back when an inquiry is made to you, okay? And you just ask these three questions back and forth. Now, we've also sent videos from universities on how to talk to law enforcement. And it's unfortunate that we even have to think this way, but with the militarization of law enforcement out there, which is part of the agenda, ladies and gentlemen, to take them away and out of local control, which is you know, still how it is here, where they're someone that you know in town. They're an everyday person. But most areas are leaning towards the militarization, and they're using the grant-making powers from the federal government and sell out sheriffs and sell out city leadership and county leadership, signing away your rights. And this integration into a central federalized or international police force, which is where it's headed, is to make it an adversarial confrontation always. You're the civilian, they're the authority. That makes me sick when I hear that out of a copper's mouth, and I correct them on the spot. I don't care what they're wearing, who they are, what their rank is, or where I'm at. I tell them. Because a lot of them, with their appearance even, with the quasi-military running around goon uniforms, etc., instead of a properly dressed, respectable-looking peace officer, have turned themselves into attack teams. And I like to ask them, point blank, myself being a decorated combat veteran, just ask them, oh, we're the civilians, so when... what military branch are you in? And when they give you the, well, we're just following orders crap, tell them, well, they tried that at Nuremberg. And if you want to watch someone just get wound up like an overdone watch, say those things. But, oh, well, they brought it on themselves. But if you are confronted in your doorstep or in a vehicle, whatever, just ask. What is the nature of your inquiry? And they're probably going to say something depending on the situation. Well, you did this, or I'm writing a ticket, or we're here to ask about that. Ask, am I being detained? And then if you're in a vehicle, of course, or just walking down the street, am I free to go? And just keep asking those questions. Keep your mouth shut, ladies and gentlemen, until you can get to good advice and help. That's the best way. It's too bad that we have to act that way, but most agencies have turned themselves into megalomaniacal institutions, arms of the federal government, and revenue collectors, and that's it. But don't go in with a preconceived notion either and automatically have them as the bad guy. Because I see that a lot. And then the same person that says that will turn around and say, oh, yeah, they always have these ideals about me just because I love the Constitution. They lump me into this or that. And I like to ask those people, well, didn't you just say that about them? So, you know, you're going to a certain extent, you're going to reap what you sow, ladies and gentlemen. So, keep all that in mind. There's three simple questions. It was good it came up with both of us in there, because that's the facts. That's what you do. Okay, I'm going to get me a quick drink, and then we're going to continue on, ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's good. I got some tea as a holiday present from one Mr. TJ, and it's quite good. He sells this tea that is like a Chinese tea of some sort in like foil packets, real nice storage item, and it's really good. It's a loose leaf tea. Gives you a pickup when you don't need to be drinking coffee late in the evening, or if you want to, go ahead. I don't care. But it's good stuff. Now, the coinage. Many people always ask, oh, well, I heard this ad, and they're selling this for that. And generally, I laugh because it's way overpriced. Or, yeah, I'm going to hoard $20 St. Gaudens gold pieces. And I'm just saving up for my first one. I've been trying and saving for 8 months now. So I'd like to ask, well, what do you have right now while you're saving? Well, nothing, because I'm saving up for that one thing. Ladies and gentlemen, get out of the pipe dream zone, please. Okay? I'd rather have some junk silver right now than save up for a numismatic grade coin. That's all there is to it. And there's some other issues with those coins as well that we'll explain in a bit. Unfortunately, the freedom or patriot movement has been inundated with carnies out there selling numismatics when that's not what a person needs generally. And they don't ask you what you need. They don't work with you. So we're going to go over some of the criteria right now. First off, some pros and cons. And you got to think about all this before you go start dumping your hard-earned whatever you got. Okay, if they're Federal Reserve notes or whatever you do, or you're bartering or for everything, either way, it's yours. And before you go trading it or giving it away to somebody, make sure it's right for you. Now, gold and silver, by weight and by volume, of course, have different amounts of value. You can have on platinum. Some people have gotten into the platinums. Incredibly high store value. Value as in the size and volume of the coinage or the ingot that you're holding versus its value on the open market. But remember, with all things negotiable or marketable, go back to the property rights series if you need to know those things. Because it's not just real estate, ladies and gentlemen. That's a legal definition. It's property rights. With all things negotiable or marketable, it's what the market can bear. What does the market need? And it probably isn't a platinum ingot, the guy that's got some blankets or some food that you need. He probably doesn't need that. Okay? Think about that. Now, if you are straight junk silver and you had a fair amount to invest in it, and your plan is to, I'm saying like you got $20,000 you're going to buy in junk silver, and your plan is there's a natural disaster, a man-made disaster, a domestic terrorism attack. And remember, millions of us took oaths to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So you've got these contingency plans, and let's say that involves being mobile. It may not, but let's say it does. And you've got $10,000 in junk silver, and you're going to take it with you, along with backpacks and firearms and documents and clothing and food and water and medical. You have a strong back, buddy, if you're going to do all that. So you got to weigh it all out. But my recommendation, provable with people who have really had to use what they had purchased later on in life, because it's a storehouse of value. If you get into it as simply, I'm going to make big bucks on it, like the stock market, then you're getting into it for the wrong reasons, quite possibly. Especially if you're listening to a good broadcast like the Hour of the Time. because you're probably not the best off out there. You're not a part of a multinational corporation. And what you have, you need to make get by frugally, thriftily, etc. So junk silver is where you start, ladies and gentlemen. It gives you a good grasp on value. It gives you a good grasp on security. It's easily negotiable. It's easily marketable. People recognize it. Now, there's caveats with everything. Again, if you have some massive sum you plan on dumping into this, balance it out. Get some gold as well. Some 10th-ounce gold, eagles, half-ounce, 1 ounce, what have you. And then they have a high value. They ate up a lot of your investment, but it's something that's smaller, less volume, a lot easier to transport. But for most of your transactions and bartering, you're going to need smaller amounts anyway because the value is going to be much, much higher for silver and everything. So silver will get used more often anyway. So balance it out. Have a 10 to 90% or 20% gold to 80% silver or 10% gold to 90% silver. That's a ratio I can recommend. Having been in third world disaster zones, knowing people who've used it to barter and trade goods, people that deal with us. A lot of people like to barter for DVDs and MP3 sets and whatnot, and even conference tuition with coinage. And I have no problem. But I'm not going to allow you to trade to take a pair of wire cutters and nip off the edge of a 1 ounce gold coin and send me the edge of it in exchange for a DVD. So here's a real life example. But I will take some pre-64 quarters out of circulation, junk silver they call it. See, it's easily negotiable. And think about your everyday transactions. Do you need to flop down let's say a $100 bill was a gold coin? And a 5 or 10 spot is a silver coin. What do you need to use most often throughout a day? And those same bartering transactions will be going on later. Gas may be rarer, more scarce. So it goes up in price. And your neighbor, he got into storing gas for his bartering techniques. But guess what? In those same times, your silver and gold went up too. So again, if you just need a 5 gallon can of gas, are you going to want to give away a $1,600 1 ounce coin? Am I going to want to take a piece of your gold coin? No. You can just go pound sand. Now, I also see a lot of things where people say, oh, look at how much silver's gone up this certain percentage since 1995 or 1998 or 2005. And we've got these wonderful peace dollars, more typically Morgans, though, 1921 Morgans, but Morgans, silver dollars, and we're only selling to you for only $42 or $50 a pop. A whole ounce of silver plus collector value, blah, blah, blah. You're getting yanked, ladies and gentlemen. That's all there is to it. Now, another thing in the coin area is think about this, is your numismatics. People say, oh, I need to have these slab coins because that's what I heard on such and such huckster show during the ads that he lets him run every 4 minutes incessantly all day. I heard about these cool overpriced slabbed or numismatic grade coins, and that's the only way I need to invest. Well, again, you're a fool because you are paying for the grading service, their professional time, and it's correct. You know, they deserve to charge for their professional time of grading it and certifying its rarity and sealing it, encapsulating it. But guess what? If I have 8 blankets, wool blankets, and some food and some bandages and a little bit of ammo and a 5 gallon can of gas that you need, I don't care about that pretty little plastic case that coin comes in. Buddy, we're talking street economics here. Disaster zone. Preservation of wealth. So, all that value that you paid for, I care less for. I'll knock that plastic case in the street and stomp on it. It's useless. What matters to me is the 1 ounce inside of it, and what's that going for on the street? Or the half ounce inside of it. So you're paying for those services and those gratings, and it's useless in the area where people always ask the question. I never had, I don't think anybody say, I want to get into a long-term numismatic investment with precious metal coins and have and establish a portfolio rather than the stock market. It's always, oh, I want some precious metal coins for my emergency stash. So I'm answering it how I get the question. Now, if you like all the fancy color flyers and paying the extra, that's fine. I'd rather not pay the extra for those services and have more weight and volume of gold and silver. So there's my recommendations, ladies and gentlemen. Now, how do you know if you're getting yanked? Well, we created the Hour of the Time a long time ago in conjunction with 30-year coin dealers and investors and advisors on the air, explained it all, but we created a personal silver calculator because that's really where you should start. And, well, how does it work? Well, first off, you can email me tonight, 7th of January, 2010, and I'll email it to you for free. And it's a spreadsheet in Excel. And at the bottom, you'll find spot price of silver. And it's a hyperlink, and it'll take you to Kitco. So you can just click on there, and boom, if you've got your browser open, it'll open up. And let's just take 1776 as a closing cost for the day per ounce of silver. It's right there. There's a chart, and then it's numerically listed as well. Now, right above that is an amount to invest. Let's say you have $100, and this chart works both ways. Enter in 100 right there. Boom. It does all the auto calculations in the spreadsheet. Up in the upper left corner, it says silver spot price. That's where I enter the 1776. We just checked it at Kitco. Enter that. Enter my amount to invest. And then guess what? In easy-to-read columns, the denomination or face value, nickel, dime, quarter, half, and dollar, price per coin low, price per coin high, and then because you entered an amount to invest, you have $100 this month or what you're going to set aside every month, I see a minimum at this spot price right now that I should get. I should get seven $1 coins to eight $1 coins for that $100. I should get 140 to 154 nickels at the current spot price. Now, it works both ways. Let's say a guy has a bag of quarters, and he's wanting $100 for him, some little bag. And you say, well, how many's in there? And he says, well, there's 50 in here. Well, I type in 100. I look at quarter. I know that today's silver value, I should get 28 to 31. And for that 100, he's offering me 50. Take it. But if he's on the other hand offering you 15, you're getting screwed. So, you see what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? It's easy to use. Email me, hourthetime@hotmail.com, and I'll send out that personal silver calculator Excel spreadsheet for free. Shoot it right to you. We had J&J Coins on the air and collectibles. So I'll give you their phone number right now, or you can look up their website, what have you. Look up jjcoins-sportscards.com. Had him on the air. He's one of the few. We started with an interview and a cursory example using a coin dealer and coin shop databases, then published books and the internet. And we started out with 1,000 on the list and weeded it down to him. Does he give us a kickback? No. Does he sponsor the show? No. But let him know that Hour of the Time sent you, so he knows that his time that he had spent on the air with us and behind the scenes was well spent. Let him know Hour of the Time Radio sent you to him. Good guy. He was willing, out of all those dealers, to explain the magic number that dealers use, the behind-the-scenes calculations they use. And if they're unscrupulous, then that's how they know that I need to do this many coins for this amount to jab it to this guy or gal. Or I'm honest and I need to be within this range because I'm allowed profit because I went and got the coins at the estate sale. I fronted the mass buying. I have the overhead, the lighting, the store front, the insurance, the display cases. And he's absolutely right, ladies and gentlemen. People need to get out of this you owe me attitude, this entitlement attitude that's prevalent on the internet, that everything should just be for free and you deserve it. Bullshit. So that's why there's a range. That's why you see a price per coin low and high. That's an acceptable range using the industry's magic number, they call it, and the minimum and maximum to receive. Very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Now, how do they derive that? Well, it's just simply a mathematical formula. And you take the spot price and you multiply it times 0.73. So 1776 times 0.73, and then times that times the face value, the as it was minted, a nickel, a dime, or whatever. So in this case, nickel. So I take that answer, the spot price times 0.73, and multiply it times 0.05 to get my value. That's what they do. Well, he was willing to explain that, ladies and gentlemen, because he has integrity. That's why I recommend him. But first, always, try locally. But here's his contact information nonetheless. jjcoins-sportscards.com. Not the greatest website. He's not a website designer. He'll freely admit that. But it works. jjcoins-sportscards.com. Give him a call. 618-985-5265. That's 618-985-5265. And he's in Illinois, so that way you know as far as time zones from where you live or he is when to call. So, ladies and gentlemen, his integrity and willing to tell the truth about how dealers work is why he got on the air with us. He's willing to come on, no pay, no nothing on his behalf either. We didn't have to pay him. Some shops wanted a $100 fee for an hour broadcast. I said, well, yeah, but you would be the only one featured, so you're going to get traffic driven to you. Oh, yeah, but that's what I make. Well, you don't make it for me, so... So, there you go. It's a simple explanation. You have a solution, which Hour of the Time is solution-based. Email us. We'll send you the personal silver calculator. HourOfTheTime@Hotmail.com is my email on the website, HourOfTheTime.com. Studio number 928-333-2942. And the Canadian studio is 613-733-4324. And the physical mailing address, Hour of the Time or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up just a cursory overview because we've done it in depth before. It's just there's been a lot of interest lately and suggestions. So there you go. There you have it. How does the industry derive their values when they're trading and selling? Why you should have this versus that in the real world when you really want to use it based on what I'm hearing from people. So that's what matters, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're going to take a quick musical break so I can get a drink of tea and then come back and we'll discuss garden and sprouting seeds. Another area of interest for people, which we've already done in depth. Go to the Survival Series. MP3 bundle. In fact, we have a survival special series where you get a lot of bonus MP3s as well. Remember, we're listener supported, ladies and gentlemen. And we can't have websites and speaking engagements and travel and research and broadcasting without your support. Go to the hourofthetime.com. Go to the hot shop. ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eagle, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time, 7th January 2010. We just finished the segment on numismatics, precious metals, coin investing. And let me know what you need to hear and research, ladies and gentlemen. Email me, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. I like to cover the areas that you need, as long as it isn't too redundant, and help you out. That's what Hour of the Time is about, solution-based. Okay, we're not here to pimp the magic formulas or alien detectors or any of that to you. Now, garden and sprouting seeds, I can't stress enough how important this is. If I had $50 that I was going to have available this week to spend on food storage, right now, and I'm just getting started, what would I do? Well, I would spend 20 to 30 of it on right now food, put the 20 to 30 aside to put in next week's allotment, and then slam on the sprouting and garden seed to get you started. And yes, Spoonie, popcorn as well. Don't forget your long-term storage powdered butter, though, to go with it. And sea salt. But actually, that's a real thing. Popcorn came up, but it's very good. It's called an adjutant. It means like an aside, something you add into your diet or storage plan. And that's very important so you don't have the psychological factors that are, during a disaster, you're already stressed. You don't know where your family is. Your whole society as you knew it collapsed because of a flood, a hurricane, an invasion, a domestic terrorist attack upon your constitution or your city or your rights or an explosion, what have you. And then to do a sudden switch, that's why I advocate integrating your food storage. We grind wheat and bake bread with it and muffins. We use sea salt. We use cane sugar when it's called for in a recipe sugar, which we don't bake much. But if there's something coming up, a dinner to go to, and we've been assigned, unfortunately, dessert or something, that's what we do. Stevia, excellent product. Herbal product for sweetener. May turn a little green tinge, but heck, they'll eat less and you can bring home more if you want. But garden seed and sprouting seed is such a wonderful thing to get right into. And this goes the food storage, the stress of constantly and suddenly switching to the barter system, disasters, and suddenly you switch your typical American diet to your food storage, your body's going to go, wow, and seize up on you. Now, there's a thing that is a psychological factor that happens all around the world with relief agencies, church extensions, etc., military relief aid, blah, blah, blah. And what occurs is that sudden shift. Besides all the other stress, that sudden shift in your diet, your body will actually not allow you to eat, even though you're starving, because it's so drastically different. That's why integration and rotation into your everyday, or at least once a week, keeps your stock fresh for your long-term storage. It keeps your body used to it. It keeps you used to using it, and you get real handy with things. And what'll happen is oftentimes people say, well, I've got 2 5-gallon buckets of honey and 5-gallon bucket of salt and 3 tons of red wheat. I'm ready. You are probably going to starve. But that's your call. I've talked to a lot of know everything and they seem to live in this fresh mountain, valley spring, cuddly fresh bullshit world. And, I just quit arguing with them anymore. I'm just telling you the facts, ladies and gentlemen, as I have personally seen it, and it's documented. Now, why are garden seeds and sprouting seeds so beneficial? Garden seeds allow you heirloom quality, non-GMO, genetically modified, non-GM seeds allow you to have a sustainable crop in case this disaster, this depression, this war, this attack lasts longer than your 2-week getaway bag. Sprouting seeds, you can sprout them in 3 days, right in your windowsill. So if the outside air is polluted or it's not safe to keep going out of your apartment, your seat, you know, you've holed up in there because of rioting and looting after this massive hurricane or flood or terrorist attack, foreign or domestic. And it's not even safe to go out down to the, through all the buildings, downstairs, elevators don't work, and go out to where the playground was and try to plant gardens and harvest and maintain them. But sprouting right in your windowsills can be a secure way. Now, do not eat tomato or potato sprouts. They're poisonous. Do not eat tomato or potato sprouts. They're poisonous. Okay? Someone asked me about eating those. Do not. They're poisonous. It's that simple. Okay. Now you can make sprouters. We've taught it at the conference. We've done it on the air. You can make sprouters real easily with a quart jar, some stainless metal mesh window screen material, and the canning ring. Not the ring and lid, the ring. It's real easy to picture, ladies and gentlemen. Take your quart mason jar. Cut out a circle or square, be crude, tear it out, whatever you got to do. A screening material to fit over the mouth of the jar and screw the ring down to hold it secure. But prior to that, what did you do? Well, you put in 2 tablespoons of clover seed or cabbage seed or alfalfa or something. I'll give you some recommendations here in a minute. And then you poured some water in there. And the water can be poured through the screen, of course, too. So put your seed in there, get your screen and ring on, pour some water in, and let it soak. Your water's like half full, and the seeds are floating, sinking, whatever. Let it soak. Okay? 6 to 12 hours or so is a good recommendation. Don't cover the container. Just let it sit there and soak. Now, 6-12 hours pass. Pour out the water. Don't waste it. It's already got mineral content. You can use it for cooking. You can drink the water. See, you're harvesting and reusing everything, your limited resources that you have. Now, of course, if you use chlorine in your water storage, be sure that you've already poured it back and forth between bowls and let it sit on a counter before you use it on your sprouting seeds so it... Between turbidity or turbulence, but turbidity is the proper term, the motion of it moving, pour from high up to a bucket on the floor, arm's length up, down to that. That aeration and turbidity and then sitting in the open will expel that little bit of chlorine you had in your long-term water storage plan. So you poured out the water and you saved it in a separate little container here to drink later, to use in cooking and recipes, etc. Now, you've secured it, you've got it. Now put it in a warm, dark place, or as warm as you can get, a closet, a cupboard, what have you. Upside down, and at a slight angle. Now I do that so that the lid is not sealed against a flat surface, that screen. Kind of at a slope. So what's handy is those $1 plastic, made in America, shoebox type storage boxes from the dollar stores. You can lean up 4 quart jars in one of those shoebox-sized plastic boxes. They're made here, and they're at an angle. It gives somewhere to capture, and that lets the water to continue to drain as you walk away. Okay? Now it drains a little more, and you roll and shake the jar around and get the seeds all over the wall, interior wall surfaces. Okay? And you rinse them. And then pour the water out. Do that at least once a day. Some recommend twice. Twice is better. And you are saving the water anyway, remember? once a day. Use that previous water, pour it back in, rinse them, shake it all over, drain it, shake it around while they're still moist and distribute the seeds. And in 3 to 5 days, you're going to have a jar full of seeds so packed you're going to have to rip them out of there. Now for general sprouts that you're going to eat raw, let them grow to 2 to 3 inches. Now, wheat, buckwheat, wheatgrass, alfalfa, etc., throw that sunflower sprouts in the sunlight of your windowsill now for 4 to 5 hours, and they'll start turning dark green quick, and the vitamin A is just going to skyrocket, okay? Skyrocket. Don't do your bean sprouts to the sunlight. It'll give them a bitter taste, though. So alfalfa, wheatgrass, buckwheat, sunflower sprouts, throw them out in the sun of your windowsill 4 to 5 hours. Now, why are sprouts so good? Small volume. The water's reusable, unlike a garden, a typical garden. You don't need to go outside and defend your garden constantly. Maybe you're held up. The nutritional value is incredible. It gets the fiber in your diet. Vitamin A, C's, D's, E's, A, B, B complex. And it's an incredible source. Tests have proven that wheat flour that you buy compared to a wheat sprout can have up to 1,200% more nutrients than when it's allowed to grow to full stalk, harvest, and then turned into flour. You can blend it in drinks. Add the bean sprouts and to salads, what have you. Just eat them raw. You're getting your nutrients that your food storage won't normally provide. Okay? Sprouted beans. They cook in 2/3 the time of unsprouted beans. Okay? Simmer or steam, though, at low temperature. The best is to use the thermos bottle method of cooking. Otherwise, you're turning around destroying all the extra nutrients and enzymes that you have in the sprouts by the high heat cooking. Put in sandwiches. Add it to stew. Wrap in some bread or some tortilla thing that you made. It can be cooked as breads and biscuits, soups, pancakes, with eggs, in sausages, into potato patties to add nutrients. You get the hint. Try to steam or fry them rather than boil them. Okay? For instance, if you steam vitamin sprouts, the vitamin C in them, you'll lose about 20%. Boiling them, you're going to lose about 60%. Okay? Grains is real easy. Now, one of the most beneficial is quinoa sprouts. It's spelled Q-U-I-N-O-A. Used by the ancient civilizations. Spread everywhere, thrown out as they traveled and moved. So they always had growing food supplies wherever they traveled because they've had routes. They were nomadic, but they had routes. Quinoa, grow in valleys in the heat, grow up high in the snow. Highest source of nutrients. I have PDF books. In fact, that's tonight's offer. Email me tonight, and I'll send you in the email some PDF books on quinoa and sprouting and food recipes. If you email during this broadcast tonight, during this broadcast, email me at hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and I'll send you some food and sprouting and nutritional PDF books for free. So the sprouting is an excellent thing. The garden seed is pretty self-explanatory. Now, let's cover some quick amounts and move on. In a quart jar, using that thing, you don't need to go out and buy a sprouting kit and waste more of your FRNs or whatever you have that you're dealing with. Okay? Make them with quart jars that you dug out of a cupboard, you emptied spaghetti sauce jars and saved them, you found them at a yard sale for a dime a piece, whatever. with alfalfa, radish, clover, cabbage. A good recommendation is 2 tablespoons of seeds for a quart jar. And I mean, it's going to be packed. Wheat, all the beans, your rye, oats, rice, sunflower, lentil, hulled buckwheat, garbanzo beans, 1/2 cup of seeds. Now, where do you get them? Garden seeds, heirloom quality. You can harvest the seeds from your crop and plant another crop. They're not genetically modified. They have a better taste, more nutrients. How do you store them? They come in a number 10 can. You've got them ready. You've got some land you've already thought about that you're going to use it on. Even if it's square foot gardening, which we've covered in depth, that you can do right on a balcony. It doesn't matter if you're an apartment dweller in a city. You can have nutritious food year-round integrated into your normal diet, not just emergency use. Save money at the market. Give you something to do other than watch some ignorant show on television or hang out on the internet all night. Give you something to do. So we've told you the nutritional benefits. They're just crazy, okay? To give you a few ideas there, we gave you amounts of what you'd need. Storage suggestions, number 10 cans, Mylar bags, vacuum pack them, at least put them in Ziploc bags if you bought them in bulk somewhere, loose in bins, your little alfalfa seeds and whatnot, at least a good quality Ziploc bag, then that inside of another container not exposed to sunlight, like a good heavy-duty white bucket with a snap-on lid to keep the bugs and pests away. Throw in some bay leaves to keep the pests away. Sprouting seeds will store 3 to 5 years, stored in a good constant temperature state, like in a cupboard or something. Okay? That's your a vegetable-type seed. Okay? Large seeds, keep out the bugs of the container. Don't nitrogen flush. If you nitrogen flush, they will not sprout. Okay, now, if you're storing seeds in a good container at a constant temperature, 60, 65 degrees, a closet, a dark cupboard, 10 to 15 year storage life. Okay? And be leery of your source. The source I can recommend, ladies and gentlemen, is Walton Feed. Walton Feed. WaltonFeed.com. WaltonFeed.com. Go there. They were kind enough to come on and be guests, multiple staff members on the air with Hour of the Time. I personally have used them. It's what I have. It's what I purchase. It's where I get my sprouting seeds, my garden seeds, my long-term food storage, my wheat, my beans, everything. I can vouch for them. I have tons of friends, tons of managers of church relief organizations, and that's where they go. Okay? That's where they go. It's good. They are good to work with. WaltonFeed.com. Tell them Hour of the Time Radio sent you. Again, we don't have any deals worked out, but they should know that their time spent with us in those interviews on the air, full hour shows on the topic, not a cursory overview as this evening, that their time was well spent and that you appreciate their efforts and knowledge. Now, if all your vitamins, minerals, and et cetera are going to come from sprouting alone, you're going to need about 125 pounds of total poundage of seeds, not each variety, per person for a year straight. That's nothing, ladies and gentlemen. If you have some other sources of vitamins and nutrients, maybe your garden outside with your garden seeds, have 30 pounds of seeds for sprouts to be eaten raw, 30 pounds of sprouts intend to be cooked per year per person put aside. If you've got gardening, you're also going to be doing or already doing, which is what you should be. Okay? Now, people out there selling right now, we covered this at the conference and some of the hucksters out there. You'll get to see this at the PA conference if you attend. I suggest you do. Garden seeds. Number 10 can. The number 10 seal, that's the big coffee can if you don't know what a number 10 can is. 15 varieties of vegetables in individual packages. They will provide a yearly supply for a family of four, fresh and canned. That one number 10 can, non-hybrid. So you harvest the seeds off a few plants that you let mature, and you have perpetual food. Okay? You get bean, beets, cabbage, carrots, corn, cucumber, lettuce, onion, peas, peppers, radishes, spinach, squash, tomato, summer and winter squash, both. Do you get instructions? They're open pollinated, non-hybrid. Now I'm seeing it out there. This is just absolutely crazy. People are getting jammed because they don't listen to Hour of the Time or don't do their research. $126 at sources that are looking out for you good patriots, and several of these scumbag hucksters out there on the air have banner ads from Solutions for Science and bullshit firms like them jamming people for seed packages. $120? Guess what? Walton Feed, number 10 can with everything I just told you. Instructions to use them, everything. $31. Anyway, that's the culmination of tonight's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you took notes. We covered coinage, numismatics, precious metals, garden seeds, sprouting seeds, why, hows, where to get them. Solution-based, ladies and gentlemen, is what Hour of the Time's about. Why just survive when you can thrive? I want to thank you for tuning in this evening, and may God bless all of you.